case number 10-5037, Newport Aeronautical Sales Appellants versus Department of the Air Force. Mr. Seaman for appellant, Mr. Minoga for appellate.
I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
All right.
My name is Paul.
Good luck.
My name is Paul Seidman. With me is David Seidman. Our client is Newport Aeronautical Sales. Newport Aeronautical Sales is a commercial technical data service. They facilitate competition for Air Force contracts and save the Air Force money by providing data to would-be bidders on an overnight basis that they could not obtain in a timely fashion from the Air Force. I'd like to address the two main issues and rest on the others on the brief. The first issue.
One thing I just want to be clear about is you're not appeal. This is only a case about FOIA, right? The challenge to the regulations under the APA and the interpretation of the regulations. That's you're not appealing that, right?
It's only a FOIA case.
Right. The district court's previous decision about the regulations under the APA. You're not appealing that, right?
That's not an issue at all.
So I'm right. You're not appealing that.
That's correct.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
The issues are, first, whether the district court had jurisdiction to limit DOD's withholding authority under 10 U.S.C. 130 to data that disclosed critical technology as required by DOD Directive 523025, the statutorily mandated implementing regulation and the legislative history. And also, whether 10 U.S.C. 130 qualifies as an Exemption 3 statute without 5230.25. In order to set up my argument, I'd like to briefly go through the pertinent authorities. First, 10 U.S.C. 130 has two pertinent provisions. 10 U.S.C. 130A states the Secretary of Defense may withhold technical data with military or space application if it's subject to export control. 10 U.S.C. 130B, which the government completely ignores in its brief, requires DOD to promulgate an implementing rule, and such implementing rule is to take into consideration access by potential bidders. The Senate report...
Okay, before we get to that,
sure.
What is your problem? So do you think 130 is a withholding statute or not? I thought you thought it was a withholding statute.
It is a withholding, we believe it is a withholding statute, but without, if you consider the additional restrictions in the legislative regulation, which limits it to critical technology.
But B doesn't authorize in any way the Secretary to issue regulations that would make the information available to everyone, does it? It just says only releases to allies and qualified contractors, right? That's what.
That is correct.
And that's not a FOIA regular. That's not in FOIA. If it's released, it can go to anyone, right?
That's correct.
Including Al Qaeda, for example, or Russia or China, correct?
That is correct.
So B is not a provision that authorizes.
Or I'm not sure if that is correct. Let me.
Under our case law, once it's released, it's released. It can't be limited. FOIA means doesn't matter who the plaintiff is.
But you still have your export control regulations. That's the point I wanted to make. Sorry I cut you off there.
Well, how would the export, if there's a document and we say it's released, FOIA requires the release, it's not limited in any way thereafter. But B actually provides a specific limitation. It can only be released to two kinds of entities, allies and qualified contractors.
It says, now, B doesn't say that. B basically says that there's the promulgate rules, and such rules shall address. It doesn't preclude the rules from covering more than that, and the legislative history indicates that the rules should cover more than that. That's where the Senate report comes in.
I see. So the text, which does not say anything like that, which just says such regulations shall address releases of technical data to allies and qualified United States contractors. You're saying there's legislative history that says, in fact, they can be released to Al-Qaeda?
No, the legislative history that I'm referring to indicates that it intends that DOD, in its rulemaking effort, limit the withholding authority to sophisticated technologies of strategic importance. The legislative history in the Senate report recognizes that the statute is overbroad, and
but who could the other information be released to? That is, information that's not under the category that you're talking about. Can it be released to anybody?
The category, are we talking about with the limitation on critical technology or without the?
If it's just technical data with military or space applications that cannot be exported lawfully. It's not this other thing that you're talking about, the critical stuff. But it is still technical data with military or space applications that may not be exported lawfully. Does the Senate say that that can be given to Al-Qaeda or Russia or China under FOIA?
The Senate does not say that, but what the Senate does state is that they intend the withholding authority to be limited to data that discloses technologies of critical importance.
And otherwise it can be released to anyone?
Otherwise it would not fall within the exemption.
All right. And where can you read the section of the legislative history that says what you just said?
Yes, one second, please. Go to the addendum.
Addendum of your brief?
Yes, of the main brief,
yeah.
At page 8.
Addendum page 8, right?
The last full paragraph.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry. Addendum page 8?
Yes, addendum page 8.
The one that begins by relating the Secretary's authority?
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
It states, by relating the Secretary's authority to withhold data to export control laws, the committee's objective is to protect valuable technical data with military or space application. The committee intends the Secretary to issue guidelines regarding categories of data covered by the provision, which should be protected. In doing so, the Secretary should be guided by considerations of whether release of the data could be detrimental to the interest of the U.S., from either a military or economic standpoint. The guidelines should give priority to the following categories. 1. Data relates to technical deficiencies of a potential adversary. 2. Data which relates to technology with important potential from a military or space standpoint. And 3. Data which could give foreign competitors an advantage or which could remove an advantage of superiority which the United States might have. For example, the committee would expect the Secretary to consider for protection data relating to such items as microelectronics and computer equipment for in-flight guidance systems.
You don't have to read it. I see. So how does this establish the idea that it could be released to anyone rather than, as described in B, to allies and qualified U.S. contractors?
The allies, and that's basically exempt data that would fall within the exemption.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why you say that. Where does it say they can issue a regulation that permits disclosure not to allies or qualified contractors.
But we're talking about release under the FOIA. What the regulation does, it defines the outer parameters of the withholding authority under 10 U.S.C. 130. If it does not fall within those parameters, it doesn't fall within the FOIA exemption and is required to be released under the FOIA.
To anyone.
Sure, because basically there is no harm in the release. If it doesn't depict something, the release of which would be harmful, why should it not be released? That was basically the idea.
You're not asking for that, though, is that right?
Yes.
Well, yes, that's ambiguous under my question, unfortunately, my fault. Are you asking that you be allowed to re-release the data to anyone you want, or only to qualified contractors?
I think I have to make a clarification here. My client would only release to qualified U.S. contractors. The reason they are here looking for this data under the Freedom of Information Act is that the government uses DOD Directive 5230.25 to withhold data that's not covered, data that does not disclose critical technology. It's not their business need to give it to anyone else.
But their view is if they get it under FOIA, they'd be entitled to give it to anyone else. Is that right?
They would be entitled to do it, but, you know, that isn't in a way that that's not.
If it's under FOIA, we'd have to give it to anyone. That's the FOIA rule.
That's the FOIA rule, yes.
So if China applied for the same information, and if you win this case, China could file the same FOIA application and get it as well.
But it would be data that does not depict anything that's important. It would be unimportant data, and there'd be no reason why China couldn't get it. What DOD has done here is basically control everything.
Well, the statute says the secretary may withhold.
The statute does say that, but it's clear from 10 U.S.C. 130B and the legislative history that Congress intended to limit withholding authority to sophisticated technologies of strategic importance.
Okay. You can go on. I'm sorry, I've eaten up your time, but you probably have more to say. Go ahead.
How about rebuttal, Tom Wharton? Okay, going on, basically DOD Directive 52, well, the House Conference Report provided a 30-day congressional review period to review assure small business access to data for bidding. The directive limited application to critical technology and provided access to commercial technical data services such as NAS. Also important is a small business regulatory flexibility analysis published in the Federal Register. It stated that there was no impact on small business because application of the directive, which basically means what's not releasable under FOIA, was limited to data that disclosed critical technology and also provided for release to commercial technical data services such as Newport Aeronautical Sales. Arguments are basically as follows. The district court has jurisdiction. They rely on the case of retired railroad workers. That case is an opposite. Under that case, which concerns 45 U.S.C. 362D, a statute which prohibits disclosure of employees' identity unless in interest of an employee or its estate. The district court held that there was no jurisdiction to make a determination about the discretionary release under Part 2, about whether a release was in the interest of an employee or its estate. This case is very different. First, the outer limits of a withholding authority are not manifest in the statute itself. You have to look at the legislative history, the Senate report, to know that the Congress intended that the withholding authority under the Freedom of Information Act be limited to data that was, you know, had some significance, what was important data, but depicted sophisticated technologies of strategic importance. Second, this is a legislative regulation. Legislative regulations have a force and effect of law. Congress required that this regulation be promulgated with notice and comment rulemaking. There was an extensive rulemaking effort, and the result of this rulemaking effort was that withholding under 10 U.S.C. 130 was limited to data that disclose critical technology. Finally, railroad workers is distinguishable because it concerns a particular request rather than the outer boundaries of an agency's authority to withhold under the FOIA. We submit that Wisconsin Project on Nuclear Arms is controlling. Under this case, there was an executive order extending export regs that were issued pursuant to a congressional delegation of authority in the International Economic Powers Act. And based on that, the export reg was treated as an Exemption 3 statute. This case, like Wisconsin Project, concerns a rule issued by the executive branch. It's based on a congressional delegation of authority as set forth in 10 U.S.C. 130B and the Senate report, and it reflects congressional intent as stated in the statutory rubric and the legislative history.
All right, Mr. Simon, I think if we want to save some time for you to have a rebuttal, we'll have to end now, so have a few minutes.
Okay.
Never heard.
Good morning, may it please the court. Mark Nebaker here on behalf of the Air Force. I believe it's fairly simple when you follow the rule that the Supreme Court set out in the Milner case, and you look at the actual language of the statute to determine whether or not it's applicable. And here it's clear that the documents that plaintiff seeks, they say under the FOIA, are in fact covered by 10 U.S.C. Section 130. Now, the fact of the matter is, we don't even have to get there because the case became moot as soon as they received unredacted copies of all of the documents sought under the FOIA requests in the complaint. If they are in the future having trouble getting documents they feel they're entitled to under the FOIA, they can start another lawsuit. But here the case is moot.
What about the Payne case? It says where there's a policy. And so the government, I take it, doesn't agree with the petitioner's argument about that disclosure is only permitted of not that withholding is only permitted of critical technology, right?
We do not agree that only critical technology may be withheld under the FOIA.
And the government's not going to agree with that the next time they apply either.
Well, except with respect to a particular document, they may agree that it's a Distribution A document, which is something that is subject to general production.
They're not going to agree ever that unless it's critical, it can be released to the public, are they?
What they may do is they may say plaintiff receives a document or wishes to have a document and they wish to produce it to somebody who is not covered by the distribution statements, they can actually seek permission to give it to this other entity. So, in other words, if
they're not going to agree that without seeking permission, they can produce it to another
entity. I would agree that the Air Force, unless it's a Distribution A document, if they get a request in the future from Newport Aeronautical Sales for a document that is covered by 10 U.S.C. Section 130, they're not going to say that NAS can release it to anybody they want, unless they've looked at the document and concluded, oh, you're right, that should be a Distribution A document.
Right, and their view is that it doesn't matter whether it's a Distribution A document or not, and that's a policy you're going to continue.
Well, that is a policy.
If it's not a policy you're going to continue, you have a big problem.
Well, but it's the difficulty is, first of all, as you know, we believe that Payne was overcome by events in the tax analyst case. But more importantly, the plaintiffs are getting the documents. So unlike in Payne where there was a pattern of certain documents not being, or a certain procedure not being followed. Here, two out of three of the documents they've sought, when they aren't debarred, they're getting. So what's really the problem here is they're trying to get the court to resolve an issue that isn't concrete. And the court shouldn't, based upon the tax...
There's difficulty in seeing what's not concrete about this.
Well, what's not concrete is you don't know what documents they're talking about.
Why does that matter? Imagine you're correct that 130 is withholding statute and that B is not a FOIA regulation. Then how much more concrete can it get than that?
Well, I think the difficulty is that their lawsuit is simply under the FOIA. It's no longer under those DOD regs. It's just under the FOIA. And under the FOIA, the court has jurisdiction to enjoin agency documents wrongfully withheld, but they haven't been withheld. And there's a large body of authority, Oglesby starting it.
Payne is still good law for the purposes of this discussion.
One still should have to exhaust administrative remedies under the Freedom of Information Act before an agency has wrongfully withheld documents. These people haven't even asked for other documents that we know of and been denied those documents and had the Air Force say, oh, those are not distribution A, you can't have them to release them to anybody else.
How do you distinguish that from Payne?
Well, Payne, there was a pattern where they weren't getting anything, and here they're getting two-thirds of what they're after.
Not getting the other third.
Well, but the truth of the matter is they have the ability to ask for permission for it to give to anybody they want, but they have to ask, and if they get it, then fine, and we don't have a case or controversy, and they have the documents. Chances are good because the Air Force is required to update its list. They'll move that document to distribution A, the ones that can be FOIA'd by North Korea if they want. But if it's not, the chances are good the plaintiff is going to have to ask them to move it to distribution A. Why they shouldn't have to do that rather than bother an Article III court to decide an issue that's not concrete and that is not yet found its specific facts that the court can apply, that's the kind of thing that at a minimum prudential standing should prohibit them from asking this court to address.
Were any of the documents that were released to them, were they released under FOIA?
They were, if you mean can they release them to anybody else, the answer is no. That seems to suggest that they weren't released under FOIA. They certainly were not releasable under FOIA. The beauty is plaintiff has said they don't intend to release them to the general public, so it doesn't matter if they weren't a contractor and if they weren't somebody who has agreed to protect these documents consistent with the national security.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand how this works. And
I mean, the bottom line is they were released and under FOIA, if they're released to a FOIA requester, the case is moot. So even if they had some FOIA right to the documents, it's moot now. But the fact of the matter is they don't have a FOIA right to the documents because they're covered by 10 U.S.C. 130, and the plain language makes that clear. The legislative history that they directed the court to, I would ask the court to take note of the introductory paragraph of that, and you'll see that it parrots the language of 130, and it basically says the secretary may withhold documents from the public that's technical data with military or space application if it can't be exported lawfully with a general license.
I'm sorry, just point to me where you're pointing.
Sure. Their addendum at page 8, they asked you to read from the bottom.
Yes.
But the beginning is also part of the language of the legislative history. Now, recall, we don't think you should ever get there.
It
says 1040C, that's the predecessor, applies to data that would be covered by restricted general export licenses or limited exemptions from licensing requirements as well as specific licenses. However, the provisions would not apply to data for which export control regulations authorize export under an unrestricted general export license or an unrestricted general exemption in such regulations. So basically what they're saying is if you can export it without a general license, if you can send it off to North Korea or to China, then it's not going to be something that the secretary can withhold. But as far as the Air Force is concerned, they have dutifully applied the regulation, 32 CFR 250.2, adopts DOD instruction 5221 and 5407R.
Are you saying that this legislative history is really only about A and about the kind of documents that would be unlawful to export?
Well, what they've said is the secretary should prioritize and, for instance, make sure that critical data the technical information that's critical is addressed promptly, is a reading I get from that bottom of the addendum at page 8. And that's what the Secretary did, in large measure. They adopted 32 CFR, Part 250, and they focused it on critical military technology. But the fact of the matter is, they also point out that the other DOD regs that apply to FOIA responses and so forth apply. If you look at the Air Force instruction that was adopted underneath those other DOD regs, they've really laid it out. And they make it clear that there isn't just a critical technology category of documents and a category of documents that everybody and their brother can have. There are actually, I think, 6 different categories that they lay out. And it makes perfect sense to have those categories, because if it's something that's very critical, you want to make sure it's only being used to support the military. But if it's something in between, you know, it might be Schedule A if it's how do you stop the glove compartment door on an F-18 from squeaking, lubricate it. Okay, that might be something that is known to the general public. You could export that type of information without any fear of repercussions, and that would be likely on a distribution A list, something that you could FOIA. But those other things, distribution D, X, and so forth,
that would be information that is not unlawful to export under that.
That's my reading of it, exactly. And that makes perfect sense. And if you look at how careful the Air Force went, there are some things that can go to DOD components, some things that can go to any U.S. government employee, some things that can go to foreign allies, if you will. And they lay them out, and they are in charge of ensuring that they're properly categorized. And if plaintiff disagrees with their categorization, they can ask that that be reconsidered and turn it into a schedule or a distribution A document. But they haven't done that for any documents here. We've given them everything. They're comfortable keeping those documents, they just said, and allow only U.S. contractors to have them.
Let's just see if I understand your understanding. The kind of regulations that are permitted, that are authorized under B, do those go to defining what data may not be exported lawfully outside the United States? Or do those say that even if it may not be lawfully exported under the Export Administration Act, it could still be disclosed?
I think that the regulations in B say if they can't be authorized there might be an instance under the Air Force's regulations where they would say, notwithstanding that this is a distribution D document, and you want to give it to someone who could only get a distribution X document, we're going to let you give it to this guy.
Not a helpful way to put it. I don't know what A and D and X are. So let me put it again. A says the Secretary may withhold technical data if such data may be exported lawfully under the Export Administration Act, et cetera, right?
Yes.
And then in B, it authorizes regulations which would allow you, it appears, even if it would violate the Export Administration Act, you could to export outside the U.S., you could still give it to a qualified contractor or to an ally, correct?
I think that's correct, yes. Okay.
It doesn't say anything about you could give it to North Korea.
That's correct. It doesn't say you can release it to everybody under the FOIA.
Do you actually have the DOD actually have regulations under B which would authorize some things that may not be exported under the Export Administration Act to be released not just to allies or qualified contractors, but to North Korea?
I believe not. I believe that where the Air Force has put something on distribution A, which is available to the general public, it by definition is something
outside of what is categorized within A of the statute.
That's correct.
That is where they've allowed it to be generally distributed, would be an item that it is not unlawful to distribute under the Export Administration Act.
With a general license or general authorization, I guess.
Okay.
Right. So with that, we would ask that the judgment of the district court be affirmed.
Yeah.
hear from, I know we used up your time, give you another 2 minutes.
I would like to make the point that this case is much stronger than Payne. The Air Force has not released the requested data to NAS under the FOIA in this case. In Payne, it was released. Also in Payne, also in this case, the Air Force is urging that such data is exempt under the Freedom of Information Act. In Payne, the Air Force indicated that the that Payne's position was correct.
You had to explain to a layperson, namely myself, what the policy of the Air Force that you're objecting to and that you believe they will continue to apply. How would you word it?
The policy is my client's not concerned. They don't want to give it to anyone, you know, in violation of it.
What's the policy that they're going to apply to you the next time, that they apply to you this time and that they're going to apply the next time?
The policy that's a problem is the use of 52 of 10 U.S.C. 130 to withhold non-covered data from them. For example, under DOD Directive 5230.25, it permits withholding the data with critical technology. The Air Force takes data that does not depict critical technology, and they withhold it from NAS under a provision in the directive providing for restricting release if it's not for direct support.
Your view is that under FOIA, if it doesn't involve critical technology, it should be released under FOIA, right? That's your view.
That's correct.
And their policy is that that's not the limitation they're applying.
Well, as far as policy, I guess you might look at the Regulatory Flexibility Act statement, because the DOD policy is...
I'm not questioning whether it is their policy, and I'm just asking you to explain what you think their policy is, and that is what you think their policy is, right? That they're going further withholding more than just critical technology.
They're withholding data that does not depict critical technology, and even though NAS is a qualified U.S. contractor, they are using portions of DOD Directive 5230.25 to withhold data from them, even though they should get it as a qualified U.S. contractor. That's the problem.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.